we said, TJ is going to be speaking on step 12. So TJ, we'd like to invite you up at this time.
Good evening, everybody. My name's TJ and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, TJ.
Kevin, you didn't tell me that it was going to be so cold today. Okay, so supposed to talk about step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Okay, so if you have a higher power like mine, he has a great sense of humor. And it's sometimes I just don't appreciate it quite as much as others. So this afternoon, I got a phone call from one of my sponsees that I'm not going to sponsor anymore, but he is in desperate need of another ride to another rehab. And my first thought was, ah, oh, hell no, go find your own damn ride. But my home group is the Back to Basics meeting, and we always close with the responsibility statement. Well, that's not being very responsible on my part. So I made a few inquiries and I made a few phone calls, and I will be picking him up tomorrow morning and taking him to the rehab. And as I said, it's, you know, my higher power just has a great way of just making sure that I know that he is still around and still making the decisions for me, which is great. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to tell you is there is, having had a spiritual awakening as the result. So whenever I used to do the Joe McHugh books, the study, that was always my first question, is after you get done working the 12 steps, what do you think you're going to get out of this? What is the one thing you think you're going to receive from working the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous? And of course, you always get lots of different answers. I'm going to get sober, I'm going to get happy, I'm going to learn how to live, blah, 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 blah. And all of that is semi-true, maybe, but that's not the guarantee. It says, rather clearly, the result. There's only one result you're going to get from working the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, and that's a spiritual awakening. We try to carry this message. And I used to hear this all the time. I would hear speakers come up, and then other people would say, thank you for your message. It was a great message. All your message was spot on, blah, 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 blah. And I would sit in the audience and think, what was the message? I didn't hear nothing. I didn't hear anything. What message was I supposed to be hearing from this that I didn't get? I thought, you know, are they not telling me the secret handshake, or are they not, is there something I'm missing here? So what's the message? The message is, because I worked at 12 Steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, I had a spiritual awakening. And to practice these principles, practice like any good hockey player, golfer, bowler, whatever, you're going to practice this all the time. Even a good doctor just practices And that's what we're going to do. We're just going to practice these. We're not going to be perfect at all these steps. We're not going to be perfect human beings. If we were, we wouldn't need to go to meetings. All right, who's not muted? So, these principles, what the hell did that mean? And honestly, I didn't understand what the principles were. What's a principle? Well, I'll give you a principle. You know, water freezes at 32 degrees. That's a principle. That's a principle. Water always freezes at 32 degrees. Now, you can change some circumstances about it. You can put it under some different pressure, and maybe that changes. But for the most part, water freezes at 32 degrees. And that's an unending truth that'll always stand. That's what a principle is. The result of working the first 11 steps is that my spirit has been awakened. So when they talk about a spiritual awakening, that's all they mean. You know, if I'd have seen the bright light or something like that, the first thing I'd have probably done is filled my pants and ran like hell. Okay? So I'm grateful today that that didn't happen for me. So I had this, so my spirit has now been awakened because I've worked the first 11 steps. And what am I supposed to do? I need to go out and tell other people that my spirit's been awakened. And that's the message of Alcoholics Anonymous. Because I worked the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, my spirit's been awakened. So no two people are alike. And no two spiritual experiences are going to be alike. We all have different ones. We all explain it differently. However, they all have something in common. When we've had our spiritual experience, or whatever you'd like to call it, the spiritual awakening, a couple of things are going to be true. You'll be able to think and feel things that you were never able to think and feel before. That part's true. You will always, after each spiritual experience that you have in your life, you will think and you will believe differently than you ever have before. You'll be able to do things that you couldn't do on your own strength. And we can receive God's direction. So, when I first got, before I got sober, right before I got sober, I'm sitting in my boss's office. And I'm scared to death because the night before I found out that they were pretty sure I was having this drinking problem, and I think they're about to fire me because I have this drinking problem. The night before I came in, all hell broke loose in my house, and I kind of came to as I was getting the crap kicked out of me by my father, and I'm like, where the hell did this come from? And I honestly didn't know. So it was very confusing to me. So I was pretty sure that I was in some deep, serious doo-doo. So when I got to work, I was going to go and throw myself at the mercy of my boss and hopefully not get fired. Now, I had no intentions of actually getting sober. I just wanted to not get fired. So I walked into my boss's office, and he said, "What's going on?" And my mouth started flapping. I mean, those gums were flapping a mile a minute, for God's sake, and they were all telling the truth. Now, in my mind, I am screaming at myself, "Shut the hell up. Jesus, what are you doing?" But my mouth just kept going, and I couldn't stop. And I was telling him the truth. To me, and I know today, that was my higher power doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And I believe that's what it means when I say we'll be able to do things that we couldn't do on our own strength. I could have never walked into my boss's office and told him the things that I was telling him. Okay, that came from someplace else. I can't tell you where it came from, other than my higher power. And those are the kinds of things that happen to me all the time. You know, you get on the phone and you're talking with a new person or whatever, and all of a sudden they ask you this off-the-wall question, and you're sitting back going, "Oh my God, where are we going to go again?" And then you begin to speak, and you're like, "Where does that come from? I would have never came up with that. But there it was." I know where that comes from today. That comes from a strength that I never believed I had before. How am I doing on time? Oh my God. All right, so now we know it works. We are now people of faith. We know it works for ourselves, and we've seen it work in others. Those of us that know from our own experience can go to a new person and help them come to believe like no one else can. You know, you can walk up to another drunk, and I swear to God, I know they're drunks long before they tell me. Or I know they're drunks long before I ever even get to know them. It's like this magnetism that I have to another drunk. And they're the first person in the room that I look back and everybody hates, and I'm going like, "I really like the guy." and it's like, oh, I know it. I just know it. But our responsibility is to carry the message. What they do with that message is not my responsibility. Sometimes we want the person to recover so much that we not only carry the message, but we also carry out the message. Now, I told you that I have a sponsee that I'm not going to sponsor anymore. And I believe it's because exactly that. I want this guy to get sober so bad that I'll do anything to help him get sober. I'd pick him up and carry him on my back if I could. And that's the problem. I've been carrying the mess instead of carrying just the message. The thing of it is about recovery, it comes through the message. And it comes through the 12 steps, the power of the 12 steps, not through the messenger. My job as a sponsor is simply to tell people exactly that. Okay? I can truly say that I have learned more about the 12 steps and about the fellowship by trying to give it away than I did by trying to work the first 11 steps all by myself or with a sponsor. Okay? I've learned so much more by trying to give it away. Joe McHugh says that by the time you get to step 10, you should be starting to sponsor people. Well, I don't know if that's true or not. I can tell you that I was not ready to do that by the time I hit step 10. And I think it's because I never really came to that, that spiritual awakening that I needed. And I really believe it took me a long time to get there. In the foreword of the 12 and 12, Bill says, the 12 steps of AA are a set of principles, spiritual in nature, which if practiced, will expel the obsession to drink. And that's all it is. I need to remember that I am just the messenger. That's it. I can't explain it to you. Half the time I don't understand the spiritual awakening myself. I just know it when it happens or when it occurs. So I was always confused by the principles. Now, I already gave you one example of what a principle really was. But Joe McHugh lists them in this book. And I think part of being an intelligent person is when you know exactly where to go to get information that you're looking for. So the steps we took, appendix number one, what are the principles? One, admitted defeat, denying ourselves, getting willingness. Step two, believing. Step three, deciding, surrendering our will. Step four, examining ourselves, seeking the truth. Step five, sharing, asking for feedback, seeking the truth. Six, getting willingness, and changing. Step seven, getting humility and changing. Step eight, living with others. Step nine, living with others and taking responsibility. Step 10, continuing to grow, continuing to examine ourselves. Step 11, continuing to grow, refining our spiritual growth. And step 12, continuing to grow in giving to others. I know in the preamble it talks about carrying the message to other alcoholics that still suffer, but the truth of it is we can do that for anybody. When I was working, I was an inside salesman. That was one of the jobs I had, and I really liked it. I mean, someone would call me on the telephone with a problem, and I would help them solve that problem. And when the problem was solved, I hung up the phone and I felt good about that. So this outside sales job came up and I said, you know, those outside salespeople, they make about twice the amount of money that I do. So I'd like to be an outside salesman. So I basically asked if I could have the job. And my boss looked at me and said, really? You really want to be an outside salesman? I'm going like, yeah. He goes, okay, dude, we'll let you do that. He said, I'll tell you what. He says, how about if we try this on a trial basis, and we'll give you a couple of months to try it. I tried it for about 3 days. And on the fourth day, it was god-awful. And on the fifth day, I walked into my boss's office and said, "Can I have my old job back?" God, I hated that. And I couldn't put my finger on why I hated it. I mean, I hated the driving, but I kind of liked to drive, just not every day. But I couldn't put my finger on why I just disliked this job so much. And the first phone call I got, I realized what it was. It was that that satisfaction that I was able to help somebody with a problem. And I thought, that's what I liked about this job. I was able to help somebody with a problem. I have discovered something about myself which I really like. I love helping people. I like to get paid for it too, but I like helping people. You know, I have a guy that lives across the street from me. He's an older gentleman. He's in his 80s. And he's just the most intelligent person I think I've ever met. But he struggles with common sense. That's kind of putting it nicely. So I go over and I help him out all the time. And right now I'm mowing his lawn for him and doing, you know, odd jobs like that for him. And he pays me handsomely for it. And that's nice. But I always feel pretty good about at least helping him. So the other day he called me and said he had to go to the bank and his wife has a little bit of dementia. Will I come over and babysit for him? And I said, sure. So I went over. And I said to him, well, can you give me 10, 15 minutes? He goes, no, I have a time constraint. I have to run to the bank and get a cashier's check. And as soon as he said that, you know, the bells and whistles are going off in my head, going, oh my, what's going on? So by the time I got over there, he had already gone to the bank. So I just went in, sat there, and just waited for him to come back. And when he came back, I discovered he was being scammed. And it probably took me an hour to drag this out of him. And the last phone call that we made together was to the Mill Creek Police Department. And I explained, you know, I had him on speakerphone, and I explained to him what was going on and everything. And the cop on the other end said, it's a scam. It's an old one that just never seems to go away. Blah, 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 blah. Don't give him any money. Don't do anything like that. Okay. And then he said to me, and thank you for watching out for your neighbor. And I thought, you don't need to thank me for that. I like that. I like being able to do that. And during the whole thing, I was calm, cool, and collected. I wasn't going to let him get scammed out of $500 or whatever it was. But I left there. And I felt really good. Now, by the time I got home, it really kind of freaked me out a little bit because this might be me someday, you know. But the point I'm making is it just made me feel okay because I helped somebody. And that, to me, is what working the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous is. It's just living right. Some of the other things that is that I, you know, my sponsor, my first two sponsors that I had were really big into service. And I didn't understand, you know, what service work really was at first. It just made me feel good to help what was going on. And so the first 6 years of my sobriety, I worked on the conference committee. And at that time, the conference had no money. And it was really difficult to get things running all the time. But it felt good when it was all over with. You know, I walked away thinking I helped something. And that made me feel good. And the sponsor I have now is really big on service work. So here I am, I find myself 35 years later, back on the conference committee, doing those things that I'm really, it's not who I am. I want to be helpful, but I don't want to be sticking out like a sore thumb, if that makes any sense. You know, I love being the center of attention. So just leave me alone. You know, if that makes any sense. So, but I know that giving it away is the only way I get to keep this. And by me explaining about the spiritual experience, if that helps other people, that makes me feel good. And I believe that's the idea of all this. And I think I probably have other thoughts in my head, and you really don't want to know what I'm thinking. So I'm just going to shut it off right there and say that's all I got. And by the way, the cake today was because I had my anniversary, which was on the 16th. Maybe it was the 17th. I think that was my higher power telling me to shut the hell up. Thank you.
Testing. All right, so if you're here in the room, go ahead and raise your hand, and I'll bring you this dangerous microphone. And if you're on Zoom, go ahead and just speak up if you've got a question. So who wants to get us started? Perfect. Okay.
Hi, Jim, alcoholic.
Hey, Jim.
Thanks, TJ. So you were talking about this isn't regarding step 12, but I guess it is AA related for sure. You're talking about this guy that you're sponsoring and that you're not going to sponsor him anymore. We'll see about that. So my question about sponsorship, over the years, have you had to not sponsor anybody anymore. You know, tell them, you know what, I just can't sponsor you for whatever reason. I'm not going through this. I don't know if I ever will. But how would you know that, you know what, buddy, you know, I love you, but, you know, this just isn't working out?
Okay, the easiest way for me to describe that is, you know how sometimes you get the feeling you're wasting your time doing something? To me, that's it right there. I'm wasting my time, and I'm also wasting his. If he's working with somebody else, I'm betting he does a lot better. Maybe he needs someone that doesn't coddle him as much. Maybe he needs someone that that forces stuff out of him. I don't know. But I just know that I feel like I'm wasting my time and he's wasting his, if that makes any sense.
Who else has a question for TJ?
Hello, TJ. Jeff, alcoholic. Congratulations on 35 years, by the way. I have a question. When you're going over to Joe McHugh and the principles, basically what I heard out there was, if you practice these principles, you will continue to grow. At least that's what I got out of that. My question to you is, like, do you see growth that now at 35 years ago, where you would have said 5 years ago, man, I wouldn't have done that, or 10 years ago, man, I did it, you know. You see that? Can you visually see that, or as you look back today, you know, when you do something and go, man, I probably wouldn't have done that 5 years ago. Well, you know, regardless of maybe when you're in or not out drinking.
Yes, I actually do think I can see that a lot more today than I could when I first got sober. You know, when I first got sober, people in the meetings would tell me how great I'm doing, and I'd be going like, I don't see any of this. And if you'd asked my wife, I'm pretty sure she'd have said, nah, I don't think so. But so I couldn't really see a lot of growth at first. But, and I've said this before, I learned everything I've ever learned in Alcoholics Anonymous, I've learned in hindsight. I can look back and say, you know, gee, I would have never done that before. I couldn't have done that before. I wouldn't have had the strength. So yeah, I do believe that I can see it a lot more today than I ever could before.
Who else has a question for TJ?
Hi everyone, Gretchen Alcoholic. TJ, thank you and congratulations.
Thank you.
You know, I thought it was interesting when you were reading the principles out of the Joe McHugh book, The Steps We Took, and something that struck me, and if I'm understanding you correctly, there's been reference in the past to a chart or a list of principles, and I heard a speaker not that long ago that said, you know, the principles are not one word. They're something that are working principles. They're in action. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's exactly what it says in here. I mean, it is talking about, if I can find the page again. It says, for instance, step two says believing. It's one word, but that's an action word. And that's what we're doing, is we're believing. Step 10 says continuing to grow, an action. Continuing to examine ourselves, an action. So yeah, I think all of it, although they're very short, when you look at them as they've been written and look deep into them, yeah, I think they're all actions. I think this is something you still continue to work on all the time. And that's what principles are. They are they are a set, let's call them a set of rules or a set of laws that if you are actually working or living by these steps, this is what happens. Okay? That's what a principle is. Water boils at 212 degrees. It's going to always boil at 212 degrees. Okay? That's the way it is. That's a law. Is it called a physical law? But it's always going to be that way. You know, unless atmospheric pressure changes, it's going to be 212 degrees. Period. So if you continue to work, that's what's going to happen. If you continue to work on step 12, you're going to continue to grow through giving to others. It's just what's going to happen. Because it's a force of nature. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Thank you.
Who else has a question? Anyone on Zoom? Hi, TJ. Ryan, alcoholic.
Ryan.
Going through this whole process for the past 8 weeks or 10 weeks or whatever it was, did you learn anything new about yourself throughout this whole process?
Yeah, there you go. That's actually a very good question. And one of the things I was thinking a lot about was, because I was thinking about just that today, is what have I gotten out of this? I've never taken anybody through the steps that I didn't get something out of it myself. But I also told you that everything I've ever learned, I've learned in hindsight. I avoided doing this for a long time. I mean, Kevin asked me to do this a long time ago. And I just have been avoiding it like the plague. And I could name off a bunch of reasons for it, but the truth of it is, I had some fear about doing this. And I discovered that I have a strength in me that I never had before. So, yeah, I did learn something new about myself, that I do have the strength to do this. Yeah.
Who else has a question for TJ? Hello.
Hello.
I'm Jim, I'm an alcoholic. We used to go on 12-step calls and we would go and follow up, and most of the time I would say 80% of the time, nothing would come of it. And I remember how discouraging that was. Because, you know, you're up at 2 o'clock in the morning. They always call at 2 o'clock in the morning. And you're carrying a message. And you do what you need to do with that person. And then the next day you find out they're gone. Did you feel like it was a waste of time? I know for me, I was angry because I had spent that time. But over a period of time, when somebody does stay sober, that one person that does stick around overshadows all the other stuff.
Okay, so yes. It is very exasperating. I go to detox once a month, speak at detox. And it's exasperating as hell to see the same people there over and over and over again. Now, I've been doing this for a long time. My first sponsor got me to going to detox 30 some years ago. And here I am 35 years later, still going. So there's a lot of retreads that I've seen. And yeah, it gets pretty frustrating, and you know, when one of your sponsees goes out, you learn why they call them pigeons. But it is exasperating. But I remember when I first got sober, there was one guy that kept coming in and out and in and out and in and out that my sponsor was sponsoring. And I said to him, I said, "Well, God, why do you keep doing this for this guy?" And he said, "You never know. It might take this time." And I'm like, okay. So this guy that I'm sponsoring at the moment, I've been sponsoring him as he goes in and out and in and out and in and out and in and out. And it is frustrating as hell, but it's always been worth it. And you're right. For some odd reason, you know, when I think about it, 15 attaboys are usually wiped out by one aw shit. But in this particular case, it's kind of like 15 aw shits are usually canceled out by one attaboy. That makes sense?
Who else has a question for TJ?
You know, it never fails.
Hi, TJ. How are you?
Oh, just lovely.
I'm sure you feel better after 9 weeks of this, and it's always a great relief. And then, you know, Ryan's question was terrific, and your answer was even better. So that's been my experience with the people that I've badgered into doing this. And they've all said thank you afterwards, so that's a good thing. So on behalf of the group, first of all, I'd like to thank you for your due diligence and your diligence and willingness to come and do this. It's a big deal. It is a big deal. And as a group, I'd like to thank you, and I think we have some parting gifts for you. Even though you won't come back next week, but that's okay.
Well, you never know.
You never know. Okay. We did enjoy your ice cream cake. It was very good. It is part of our tradition as a meeting, you know. You bring a cake, and we will help you eat it.
And I appreciate that. And you left me some so that I get to take it home and eat more.
Oh, that's another rule that we have to talk about. Oh, okay. Well, there we go. I'm not trumping your wife at all. Anyway, thanks again for doing this. I really appreciate it. You did a great job, and congratulations.
Thank you very much.